you like movies and I'm here to say, then this is the show for you, okay? It's called The Best Movie to Jamie Allentone, so don't touch that dial, turn off your phone. Grab a sweet song mix of popping corn, from Rosebud to Laughter to Jason Bourne, Meryl Streep to Kurt Russell to Dennis Hopper, and don't forget, y'all,
this is the chopper!
Oh, relaxed into the intro. Hello and welcome back to the Best Movie 2 podcast, the podcast that tells you what movie to watch in any given situation. And this is part two of our Euros movie battle. So welcome back, Dave Ferguson. Hi, Dave.
I'm great. I still know nothing about the Euros. It's terrible.
Do you know that? So we're recording this on Friday. Do you know that England got through to the final?
I do now.
Yeah, so England, it's going to be England, Spain on Sunday. This will go out on Sunday. But it's England, Spain. So I actually put up the movies that we had representing those countries. So I actually put up a poll of who would win between Dead Man's Shoes and Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And it looks like Dead Man's Shoes was the winner on that. I don't know, how would you put as the winner on that one?
Dead Man's Shoes is a great film. Pan's Labyrinth is a great film. It's so weird. Yeah. I saw that in social media and I didn't vote because I liked them both so much and didn't realize what we were doing.
This is exactly what happened in the country a week ago, Dave. Nobody voted.
Yeah. And now
everything's fine.
And now everything's fine.
All right. So to save people from the boredom of the semis, the way we're going to do this is we've got eight countries left. You had five countries go through and I had three. So you've very generously given me Spain to put through. I've given myself an extra challenge of I'm going to try and not repeat any movies on these. Because we did find some interesting ones where we were like, oh, actually, I would like to watch that.
Yeah, there are movies added to my list. Some of them are impossible to get. Like, you know, I was chastising myself for not having watched more foreign language movies, thinking that I had done loads of that, and I really haven't. And some of these movies are just, how do you get them?
You know, yeah, I mean, it's hard to when you see like a 1924 movie from Turkey, it's hard to be like, oh, I'll just get that off Prime.
Right. But this is the danger of streaming. If it's not available,
it kills like, it all.
It's terrible. Bring back physical media.
All right, so we're going to start with Italy against Denmark.
Okay,
that's our first one. So you've got Italy, I've got Denmark. Who have you got for? What have you got for Italy?
So the movie they got through last time was Cinema Paradiso, but you want new movies, don't you?
If you want, you can do what you like.
Well, but we're recording, Jimmy. I can't do what I like.
have you got a new one? Put that dog down. have you got a new one?
Well, I'll put in La Dolce Vita because it's such a great movie.
La Dolce Vita. Now, all I know from this is the song. Apart from that, I've never seen La Dolce Vita. Again, this is my ignorance coming through.
I recommend. It's a beautiful film. Beautiful film.
So what is La Dolce Vita about?
You see, now you're asking. It's not really about anything. It's just about people living their lives, like slice of life.
So. Oh, right. So it's like a vibe movie. God, I'm so ignorant. I couldn't even tell you what it's about. Let's see what IMDb says is its storyline. In 1960 Rome, Marcello Rubini... He's a writer and journalist, the worst kind of journalist, a tabloid journalist. His job is to try to catch celebrities in compromising or embarrassing situations, especially when they're beautiful women. Two of these women, yada yada, with both are having an affair, bloody blah. Okay, so it's like a socialite movie.
But it's very beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, this pops up on a lot of like best ofs, doesn't it? And it's Fellini. He's like quite an important director. I think he did Jurassic Park 2.
Are you sure it was Jurassic? Was it not 3?
Oh, 3 is the one where the raptors talk to him. Yeah, that's very heavily influenced. Oh, he did 8.5 as well. Yeah, he's We discussed 8.5 last time because I always mistake it for the sex one with the butter.
Yes, which is last time you were in Paris.
Right, that's it, yeah. So 8.5 is not a sex movie. All right, yeah, La Dolce Vita.
But sexy. It's got, you know, it's Italian, so everything's sexy.
Yeah, that's fair enough, actually. I mean, I'm looking at screenshots of it on IMDb, and it looks sexy, and it looks like everybody smokes as well.
I mean, apart from the whole cancer thing and everything, and everything stinking. I am so sensitive to cigarette smoke. I was sitting on a bus, and a woman got on in front of me, and she obviously just had a quick fag before getting on the bus, and I had to move because she was surrounded by smoke. I'm a delicate flower. You know?
I hope you did a cough.
I did, but not like passive aggressively. Like I couldn't. Oh fuck! I'm dying. Yeah. But I am a delicate flower.
I hope you got a stinky bitch as you got off. what have I got? Right, so you got Italy, La Dolce Vita, going up against Denmark. So I had another round last time, the Mads Mikkelsen film. This has been tough, this, because I've had to kind of cheat and look at Denmark-produced movies. So I'm going to go with Breaking the Waves, Lars von Trier movie, which is...
Oh, that's a good film. That's great.
Danish in everything bar location. So it's set in Scotland, but it's Lars von Trier, and it's Stellan Skarsgård, and it's Danish-backed. And this, I haven't seen this, but this is Breaking the Waves. Is I believe it's an oil rig worker has an accident, and Emily Watson is his girlfriend, and he can no longer have sex. So he tells his wife to go out and have sex with other people.
Yeah, it's not the right solution.
So have you seen this?
It's a really joyous ending. It's a really, I find it quite grim, and then the ending's really gorgeous. Like I cried. Like I cried a lot of things. I'm a crier, but I cried everything. But it's a really good movie.
Yeah, I do want to give that a go. I haven't seen many Lars von Trier movies. I've only seen Dogville, which I remember liking, but it's not kind of gather around on a Sunday kind of director, is he, of Lars?
No, like Emily Watson. It is Emily Watson, the actor?
It is Emily Watson, yeah. And she's great.
Yes, she is.
Obviously, her best role is probably, what's that Christian Bale? Like, oh, Equilibrium, I'd say.
but that's the society we live in now. I'm hyped. I'm goes to the gills on medication. I don't feel anything. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean this Ozempic that I've got is really battling the vaccine. right, so I'll let you choose our criteria for who's going to win on this one, Davey.
Well, Breaking the Waves. I think La Dolce Vita is going to win it, but Breaking the Waves is certainly going to give it a run for its money.
So we've got some Rotten Tomatoes, we've got IMDb. We can do film length or. You can throw in something random.
Let's do IMDb.
IMDb, okay. Breaking the Waves has got 7.8.
Oh, I didn't expect it to be that low.
On IMDb, oh, La Dolce Vita, 8.0. So, by 2.
Italy.
It goes through. All right, next one. I mean, the Danes were never going to win this, were they? which country is? I mean, sorry to our Danish listeners, but which country has provided the most like cinematic masterpieces to the world? No one was ever going to go Denmark, were they?
No.
I mean, one of my other ones was actually an Indonesian movie, but The Act of Killing that I had for Denmark. Have you seen The Act of Killing?
Oh no, I haven't.
It's a really good documentary. It's made by Danish people, produced by Werner Herzog, and it's about the Indonesian mass killings of 1965 to 66, wherein communists and people against the New Order regime were tortured and killed. So the director noticed that the people who committed the murders, when they started to discuss them, they were like discussing them in a gleeful manner. Like it's like they were proud of what they did. So he goes there and he gets them to show them how they did it and reenact like what they did just to try and get a bit of humanity out of them. and make them see what they did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't normally use the word powerful because I'm not a ponce, but it is one that makes you go, oh, fuck it off.
I'd be very, very careful about watching anything that's real, you know, like a documentary or anything, because it fucking in their headspace. Show me the most gratuitous, horrible horror movie, and I'm gleefully enjoying it. But something where someone's had a really bad time and it's real, can't handle it.
All right, well, I've got something. Our next one is Portugal, Turkey. So you've got Portugal, I've got Turkey, and I'll do my the one that I found the trailer and actually laughed. This one's called Gora, G-R-O-A, from 2004. The tagline is a space movie. And it's a slick young Turk kidnapped by extraterrestrials shows his great humanitarian spirit by outwitting the evil commander-in-chief of the planet Gora. There's a fart in the trailer and he lights a cigarette with a laser.
Oh, that
doesn't that sound delightful?
I want to see that. I want to see that.
So I kind of saw, from looking at Turkish movies, this, I mean, I think we both admitted Turkey's a region we've never really discovered cinematically.
Yeah.
I think there's like a silliness to Turkey, maybe. There's a bit of slapstickness that we, when you look at these great best of lists, you always go to like the prestige ones. But I think maybe there's like a silly sense of humor in Turkey.
Well, that's good. I mean, like, I mean, my parents love Turkey. They go there on holiday all the time. So, and that's basically because they're alcoholics. So,
so what would you put up against my farting, cigarette smoking?
Well, Gora? See, the thing is, I have one film for Portugal on my list, so I'm open to suggestions. It's the one that I had, which is The Ornithologist, and I didn't look up any more. Films.
That's all right. Portugal, I want you to know that you have nothing of worth, and we just see this. Do you want to give us a reminder of what The Ornithologist was about?
Do you want to know something? I don't remember. I imagine it's about an ornithologist. In my mind, when I chose it, the reason I chose it without knowing anything about it, I thought The Ornithologist, oh, it's someone who's a bird spotter. I know an ornithologist is an expert in birds. It's a different thing, but like he's a bird spotter and he spots someone getting murdered. That was what my brain went to. And I assumed it was
I'm going to give you a random instead.
Please do.
I'm going to best movies of all time, best Portuguese movies of all time. And the top one, the top one's only got 6.4. There's one called Jamie. There we go. How's that?
Yeah, let's do Jamie.
Jamie is a woman takes her young son, leaves her husband and moves in with her lover. The boy, desperate to get his parents back together, becomes convinced that if only he can get his father's stolen motorcycle back, everything will be fine again. So he sets out to get enough money to buy his father a new one. Oh, it might be called Jem. Oh, no, yeah, Jamie. It's Jamie, but the I is before the M, which is technically disgusting. But there you go. There's a slice of realism. Won 7 awards. Let's see what awards Jamie's won. It's about time. Hey, Jamie. Oh, best European feature at the Crystal Star, Brussels Film Festival. There you go. That's doing strong. Oh, yeah, well, always good to watch a film. Is there any films with David in the title? Oh, Dave. You've got Dave. One of the greatest political satires ever made.
Sigourney Weaver. Is there any? I'm sure there must be a David movie, but I can't think of any.
Once we get desperate in like 2 years' time, I might have the same kind of tournament, but with names, where we have like Regarding Henry and what
Karen.
The best is Sabrina the best film with that's a name.
No, I would say it was Carol. Carol's one of my all time favorite films.
Oh, Carol! Yeah. That's wartime lesbians, isn't it?
Yeah. And everybody wears beautiful fashion. Money isn't an object, and it's really beautiful. It's really, really beautiful.
It's just like my life.
Favorite lines in a movie ever.
All right, so this is of all the fixtures, this is like the 2 p.m. On a Wednesday. You might watch it, but it's on in the background fixture because we've got Jamie going against Gora. And shall we mix it up? Let's do film length.
Let's do film length. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
All right. Gora is I've probably shot myself in the foot here because this is right. Oh, right. 2 hours, 7 minutes on Gora. And Jamie is 1 hour 51. Wow, 2 hours sounds a bit long for a slap about.
Yeah, like normally comedies are in and out, like it's an hour and a half. If that, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
Right, Gora is that long.
I don't know if I want a 2 hour Turkish slapstick comedy unless I've had a joint or something. All right, we're smashing through this.
Yorkshire pudding.
Sorry?
A joint with gravy and a Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, to dip the joint in. Yeah. Next one is, oh, it's one of my big countries. We've got Romania against France. So what did you have for Romania?
Again, I've only got one for Romania. I feel really bad about this. I don't know why I only chose one. There's other countries that I've still got the same piece of paper that we used for the last show. And I've got other countries that didn't go through that I've got a whole list for. Yet the ones that went through, I've got one for. But for Romania, I had 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days.
Which... Do you know what? Out of all the films we discussed, that was probably the most interesting one. So I wouldn't worry about not putting forward other films. But if you didn't listen to last week's, you're going to be very confused. But that was an abortion movie from Romania that was kind of heavily into the politics of the time. So we discussed that heavily. But it sounds interesting. It's probably I think that might be the one that I most wanted to watch. I'm just having a look back over what else we had. I mean, I don't know if you remember, there was Fogey as a Bastard about the punk rocker who gets his groupie drug addled and then prostitutes him out, which sounded interesting. That leaves me with France, and I'm going to go with, I mean, you can't do France without Luc Besson, can you? So I'm going to go with Angel A from 2005.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit, I've seen this, loved it. This is about a kind of down on his luck schlub who is about to fall, jump into the Seine, I assume. So it's set in Paris, and an angel comes down. It's all black and white, very beautiful black and white, 2005, when you're allowed to choose, and kind of changes his life throughout the course of one night, including, if I remember right, raising money for his debt by shagging a bunch of men in a nightclub toilet, because she doesn't have the shame of like sex that we have. So she just is like, oh, that was fun. Let's get someone else in, get money off them. So I think there's like some moral choices there as well. Like he questions, should I be letting an angel prostitute themselves out? It's really interesting. I mean, you have to look past the fact that Luc Besson at times has had relationships with like 14 and 15 year old girls. And I think Leon would be a very creepy movie if it wasn't for how well the actors do in it.
Well, I mean, the original script for Leon, the professional, there's more in there. Like it's unequivocal that the Natalie Portman character is in a relationship with him.
Mm.
But it can't be a relationship because she can't consent. So I'm glad that it's a bit fuzzier. I mean, I think Leon's amazing. The bit where she goes to the door when everything's happening, you know, and she leads onto the door. Like, I'm not a huge Natalie Portman fan, but she clearly is a talent, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching Leon as a kid. We watched it in a hotel coming back from somewhere, and we were way too young. Me and my brother, my mum and my dad, and it definitely left an impression because I was like, I didn't know action films could be like this. It's meant to just be that easy, you know, running around shooting people.
Yeah. It Gary Oldman's fantastic in it. And it's one of the great over-the-top performances because as much as I think he's a great actor, he's slicing the ham thick. But you kind of need that for what's happening. You know, it's truly, if he didn't go that high, the movie would be unwatchable, or the movie would be a very different vibe. You know, like, I don't know. Hey, a family got wiped out. It's fun.
Do you think Luc Besson went back to France because he was sick of the Hollywood system, or do you think he was kicked out for being a creep? Or because he does like some weird martial arts films in the noughties there as well. I think he did Kiss of the Dragon, which is like a Jet Li action film in France.
Luc Besson's a good director, which sounds like I'm hand waving away its creepy aspect, but separate the art from the artist.
Maybe we should do like the old time. What's the best of the creeps? Like, what's Woody Allen's best? What's Luc Besson's best? What's the one who's not allowed back in America? Yeah, I mean Polanski's the king of it, isn't he?
I'm a huge fan of Sharon Tate, who was his murdered wife. I really love her, and she was an extraordinary woman. And that's why none of the Manson gang should ever get out for the murders.
I actually enjoyed what he did with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where it felt like it felt like a cinematic justice.
Yes.
Welcome back to Keeping It Light with Best Movie 2. What criteria do you want to pick for this one?
Non-pedophilic. not IMDb. Can't do movie length. What's the next one?
You can do kind of Rotten Tomatoes, like critics or audience.
Let's do Rotten Tomatoes audience.
All right, Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. Oh, are you doing audience score?
Audience score.
Okay, 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days. Audience score is 86%. If you'd gone with critics, you would have had 96. Right, so you're on 86%. And what am I putting forward? Angel A. So we've got 86% against 74%.
I thought for sure it would be higher. It's been a 7-foot-tall angel woman beating the shit out of people. Why don't people love that film?
So Romania goes through, potentially to the final on abortion movie. So it's shocking. Angel A, 46% review score.
For critics?
Yeah. It's black and white, though. You'd think black and white instantly gets 60 and above.
I loved Angel Eye. I thought it was really well done, and it really it did something new. Well,
yeah, really, I mean the poster alone is beautiful. It's a huge towering blonde woman looking over our schlubby hero. Oh well, all right. I might give that a revisit to see did that deserve such a low score. And then our last of the semis is Slovakia against Spain. So you could have given me Slovakia, but you generously gave me Spain. And have you got a returning movie for Slovakia?
I do, because I didn't look at any other films. I'm kind of annoyed at myself for doing that. I don't know what my thinking was.
I think it's just that you hate Europe, Dave.
I do hate Europe, but that's... Just no, I don't. I don't hit Europe.
So I believe you had The Shop on Main Street.
That's right. Yes, 1965, best foreign film.
And this was this was another one that looked really good. It was about a guy who's been appointed as like a controller of a Jewish woman's store.
Yeah,
and she kind of doesn't really realize what's going on. So it's like the innocence of. It's pre-World War II, I think, and it's that innocence verse. I guess he wants to hate her, but you can't really when someone doesn't know why.
Yeah.
It was probably important film to watch now. And what have I got? Spain. Yeah, you gave me Spain. I thought about this. I thought, can we do Spain without having a Pedro Almodovar movie, really? So what did you have for Spain last time? You had Pans. So Pans Labyrinth got you through. I haven't seen many Spanish films, but I'm going to go All About My Mother by Pedro. I was reading the synopsis of this, and it hits a lot of buzzwords for what would be a dramatic Pedro movie. From 1999, All About My Mother is a... Where's it? Let's have a look. There's a, it's about a nurse who supervises donor organ transplants, whose teenage son gets killed. So she goes on a road trip to find the father of the son to tell him that he's died, which is Lola, now a transgender woman. It looks really interesting. And mad that, you know, I think people collectively now just think of trans stories as coming out in the last few years. But I mean, Pedro was probably handling it a bit more delicately back then before we all started arguing about toilets and panicking in the UK. Have you seen this one?
Oh, About My Mother, yeah. I like Pedro Almodovar. The reason I like Pedro Almodovar is because In Bed with Madonna, which was 1990, maybe 1991, Madonna says that she loves Pedro Almodovar. And being the little Madonna kid that I was like, I have to watch all his movies. Channel 4 showed them all. So I've seen them all many times. He's matured as a filmmaker, but I really like him. I really like him. But All About My Mother is really it's funny and hard.
Have I made the right choice then? Is that Pedro's best, you think, or what would you say is Pedro's best? Best in Spanish.
I really love. Penelope Cruz is in that, and the thing is, her mother dies, comes back from the dead.
Oh, sexy!
And it's. And you find out a lot of stuff. It's not as surface level as I've just described, but Penelope Cruz is superb in it.
Okay, I do need to do a bit of Pedro. It's a problem with like everything gets second screen now. So foreign movies just take such a hit when you know you have to be writing emails and stuff, and yeah. You know,
but cinema. There needs to be a movement that brings cinema back. I see the movie the other day, and everybody was on their phones in the cinema, and there was a guy vaping, and wants to kill everybody.
We need to be starting more fights in cinemas, I think, for me.
I think so. I'm not being arty farty about it, although I am being arty farty. It's also you lose your ability to comprehend things if you're not going to follow a story because you're looking at your phone. That impacts your whole world. You know, like I'm not saying young people are bad. I'm not, but you can talk to a young person. It's like talking to someone who doesn't understand anything. You know, and it's I'm being very judgmental because I'm like old, but I wasn't old once. I was young once. You know, and it's worrying. You can get lied to if you're not looking at things better.
Yeah, I think, just we need to start throwing fists. I did see, have you seen this AI company that is planning on when foreign films get dubbed, they're going to kind of change the faces of the actors so that it looks like they're saying the English words.
Oh,
because
God,
people find dubbing disturbing.
I don't want that. No, that you're fucking up their performance.
Read it the is a depressing hellscape. right, so it's my pick on the criteria, isn't it? So what do we do? So we've got The Shop on Main Street versus All About My Mother. We might as well stick with Rotten Tomatoes and go with Rotten Tomatoes critic score, yeah?
Let's do that.
So... Shop on Main Street by Joseph Corona. Fuck you. The Shop on Main Street has 100% critic score.
What does All About My Mother not have 100%?
If it does, then we can switch to 98%. Oh, fuck you, Dave. Right, so that means... That means that you've got three countries through and I've got one country through to the final. So I have to have Turkey. And you get to pick from Italy, Romania or Slovakia. So congratulations, Dave. I hope you're very happy. What a sad little life.
Can I choose Italy?
You're taking Italy. Okay, so Italy v Turkey in the final. I think I've got one movie left for Turkey. Are you doing Cinema Paradiso? Dolce Vita as well. Have you got a different movie for the final?
Well, Bicycle Thieves. Do the Bicycle Thieves.
Oh, okay. I mean, this is so I went to film school, but it was in Northampton, so you know my knowledge isn't that great. But this is what one that pops up is like it's top 10 most important movies made.
Yeah. So you went just, to Northampton?
Yeah. Hence my lack of accent. I spent 10 years in Northampton and it just chipped away at my Scouse accent until one day it was gone. Your shock just that I've been to uni?
No, I knew you'd been to uni, but I didn't know it was Northampton. I didn't know there was a university in Northampton. And the reason that I'm surprised, it's not me being like cagey. I some friend, he doesn't live in Northampton anymore, but he did live in Northampton. And like I've been there many, many times. I was there the day that Whitney Houston died.
Oh, wow. Well,
with the death of Whitney Houston.
Do you know, I was there as well. So we would have been there at the same time, just mourning Whitney Houston.
Whitney died on the 11th of February, but that was Saturday. And my birthday's the 10th of February. And I was out for my birthday and they kept playing Whitney Houston songs. I'm going, and I thought my friend had said, oh, we'll play his favorite artist. I'm going, well, it's not Whitney, it's Madonna, you know, or Kylie, you know. But they kept playing Whitney songs, and that's how I found out that Whitney was dead. When I went up and said, "Why are you playing so many Whitney Houston songs? It's my birthday. Can you play something else?" And he went, "No,
she's like, fucking okay. Dead, mate."
Dead.
All right, let's do it. The final: Turkey against Italy. You're doing the Bicycle Thieves. So if people haven't seen the Bicycle Thieves, what's it about?
Oh, God, actually, what is it about? So it's a group of friends. I saw it a while ago.
So it's in post-war Italy, a working class man's bicycle is stolen, endangering his efforts to find work. He and his son set out to find it. So I think it's a kind of bonding with my son whilst we get this bike back. I imagine it's kind of a bit more than that.
I remember it being very beautiful. There's a scene with the son and a girl. So that's why I was saying it was about friends. So I need to review it again.
This is one that I've always had on my list. I might even publish the whole list of films that we've talked about at some point, just so I can remember where we've got. Right. So what world renowned the Bicycle Thieves, what is Turkey throwing up against there? So 2005, I've got one called My Father and My Son. This is the highest grossing Turkish film in history. So in order to study journalism at Istanbul University, Sadiq leaves his village on the Aegean coast, angers his father, who wants him to study and stay local to manage the family farm. During his years at uni, Sadiq becomes a militant in left-wing politics. So this is a classic. I did this, went off to uni, became a liberal cook. And, you know, you start coming back and telling your parents what language they should use and who they should vote for. However, in the early hours, Sadiq's pregnant wife starts having contractions. Oh, so good for Sadiq. Oh, by the way, I've not seen this film. I don't know if you can tell.
I've never heard of the film. It's the highest grossing movie of Turkey.
Yeah. At 2005 as well, but I think it's set in 1980. They can't find anyone to take them to the hospital when the wife's having contractions due to a curfew. The country's been taken over in a military coup. So Sadiq's wife gives birth in a park and dies, but this son survives, and then he has to go back to his father with his son. So I think it's an emotional drama, but that is mad that like the highest grossing film in Turkey is a drama about a widow and his son coming back to see his granddad on a farm. Like other countries are just doing it right.
Yeah, I want to see that movie. What's it called again? A Father and a Son?
My Father and My Son, 2005.
I'm writing that down. Kicking in notes.
So I'll let you choose on this one, Dave. Should we have some? Should we? I'll tell you what we should do, right? Shall we add up the average for the Rotten Tomatoes audience and critic?
And come up the average?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That who sounds fair. Love that? All right, my father and my son and the bicycle fish, right? Oh, I need to get into Rotten Tomatoes. All right. So my father and my son. Oh, you fuck. 96% audience, but no critic score. So I guess the critics that use Rotten Tomatoes have not been reviewing Turkish movies. I mean, yeah.
Stick it in there, Jimmy.
But the Chicago Reader ready did it and said it's blatantly manipulative, broadly acted, and with a score that's about as subtle as a pipple. Well, I want to see it. All right, so fuck you, the Chicago Reader. So, well, I guess the average is 96% on that. And you've got the Bicycle Thieves. Now, have the uncultured swines of Rotten Tomatoes dragged this down? 1948, Bicycle Thieves. Ooh, so 94% audience score. Critic score 99%. So can you do the quick maths on that? That'd be 90.
I'm borderline learning disabled now.
So that's, well, in between 94 and 99, it'd be 96 and a half. So it's 94 versus 90. What was mine? I think mine was 96. So Dave, by five. Yeah, 96. My father and my son. So by 0.5, and I think rightfully so, Italy has won the Euros of best movies. And that'll be impressive. If we put up the Bicycle Thieves, everyone will be like, oh yeah, well done. Not realizing how absolutely slapdash we made this.
Italy.
So we got there. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with what we've learned. I'm happy with Italy winning. I mean, Italy do contribute a lot to European cinema, don't they? And I think what I've learned from this is I'm definitely going to give Cinema Paradiso another go. And yeah, probably the Bicycle Thieves. And I mean, these...
The right edit of Cinema Paradiso. There's an extended cut that ruins the punch of the film. See the original cut. I really feel strongly about that. The extended cut, there's a whole love affair gets added, and you're like, it's nice, but it's not. It's getting in the way. Go.
You want the Snyder one, not the Whedon one.
Oh geez, that Zack Snyder. Oh my God, I used to have such high hopes for him, and no, I will not watch anything he does. Him and Rian Johnson need to disappear into the moon.
Oh, you don't like Rian Johnson?
I can't. No, Rian Johnson destroyed cinema.
Oh, well, that's another podcast, I guess. Well, Dave, thanks for that. Italy have won. Congratulations. I hope you're happy. Even if people haven't, I guess some people might not have listened to last week. So is there anything that you've got to plug?
Anything that I've got to plug? I've got shows coming up at the Camden Fringe. David Ferguson, Trivial Hirsute. And I'm a co-presenter on a podcast called Believe Conspiracy Pod, which is about conspiracy theories, which you have been on, and you were brilliant. You're one of our
most popular episode, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's because of me and not because the conspiracy we chose is just very popular.
Well, one of our other really, really popular episodes, we didn't think would fly. But it's like, I think it's our third most popular. It's about Amelia Earhart.
Ironically, that you didn't think that would fly.
But, you know, we're having a great time with it. So we'd love you to join us. Believe Conspiracy Pod. We're going to get you back on. So we are at some point.
I'll be back on. All right. Well, cheers, Dave. You have a wonderful, well, we're, by the time this goes out, we'll probably know who's won the Euros. So I'm guessing as a strong Irishman, you don't really want to see England lifting any silverware.
It's not the Irishman. As a gay man, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not one of those fake gay men that likes football. Sorry.
I was going to say, but surely you just like seeing shiny things, but that's magpies, not gay people.
But the thing is, it's also true of me. I love things being shiny. Oh, it's pretty. Look. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll text you and let you know who wins after Sunday. All right. Cheers, Dave. Good to have you on. I'll see you, buddy.
I had a great time. Bye.